Welcome to The Mic Is On, episode 52 with Mix Rominous. What is up, everybody? It's been a while, but we are back here with the newest episode of The Mic Is On podcast. And if you have been a loyal to semi-loyal listener, you will recognize that the topic of today's podcast and podcast guest is something that we have not spoken about in any of the preceding 51 episodes, and that is volleyball. And we are going to specifically be talking about men's college volleyball, as our guest, Mix Rominous, is currently a student at BYU Brigham Young University in Utah, about to embark on his sophomore season on the BYU men's volleyball team. Now, I wanted to talk to Mix to get an idea of what it's like to actually still be participating in the sport in college right now. And for me, when I get to ask the questions to him, I'm always interested in the ins and outs of how a certain sport works on each campus, right? Like, okay, what does it mean to be a volleyball player on the BYU campus? Do people pay attention? What kind of, you know, special little things do you get to by being an athlete? How is life like? And do you get treated differently? But not just volleyball today will we touch on. We will also talk about the fact that Mix is at BYU, but is not of the faith. That would mean he's not Mormon, which is not the norm at that university. So we get into all of that. We talk about Mix's career in volleyball, starting from when he first started playing, Northgate High School, the pandemic, and then what it's been like playing at BYU and what his thoughts and aspirations are for the future. It's a really good conversation. I think you'll enjoy it. So please sit back, relax, wherever you're listening to the podcast at, whether it be on headphones, in your vehicle, wherever, and check it out. Episode 52 with Mix Rominous. All right, today I am here with Mix Rominous. And as I said on the intro, it is the first episode of the podcast, and this is in the 50s now, where we are talking about the sport of volleyball. So Mix, of course, is readying himself for his redshirt sophomore season of volleyball at BYU, Brigham Young University. But first, I want to welcome Mix today. Mix, thank you for coming on the Mic Is On podcast. Happy to see you. How are you doing?
I'm doing amazing. Thank you for having me. It's an honor to finally be with the graduation enunciator and the best PE teacher I've ever met. Love it.
Thank you, Mix. I appreciate that. And we will talk about that. I've had numerous former students on who are doing all kinds of different things. And we've touched on numerous different sports or activities that people are able to compete in college. And you and a few others are ones that I've actually gotten to talk to while you're still competing in that sport in college. And because volleyball is one that, as far as the sport is concerned, is one that not everybody is locked into volleyball, especially men's volleyball. But that's why I want to talk about it today, because I feel like, number one, you're going through an experience a lot of people don't get to have. And the way you got to where you're at also is different. But I want you to start by telling us, when did you first start playing volleyball?
Okay. The moment was my sister, Marlena. She played volleyball for years before I did. And we recently moved to Northern California. I played a little bit in Massachusetts, but I wouldn't really say that's where it started. It was just very spaced out camps, whatever. Sister met Roger Worsley, who was the coach at Northgate at the time. And asked if there was any men's volleyball teams around. He's like, oh yeah, I own this club, Pacific Rim. Have him come out for tryout. Have him come out, because we were in the middle of the season and I didn't come out to tryouts because we just moved there, just fresh. So went there, went to the tryouts, and everything happened. And we just started playing, kind of got into the 14s team. Everybody's like, wow, this guy can actually, for a 14 or like 13-year-old at the time, was like, all right, he's pretty good. So kind of stuck with it there. But the real motivation behind it was for my camp, Gutizes, a Latvian camp in Michigan. Volleyball there is huge. all the girls at the time when I was like younger was like, oh my gosh, this guy's his name was Dinas Bezinger. All the girls in my class there were like, oh my gosh, the cutest guy in the world. Oh, volleyball player, like shredded, big guy, like just jumping high, banging out, played pro overseas.
What age were you when this was happening?
13, okay. 12, 13. So I was like around the same time. And after that, I was like, damn, I want to be that guy. So ever since then, like having motivation from my cousin playing and the camp culture around volleyball and all that, I was like, I got to get into this. I love these people. And I just want to be like, I just want to show off for them and kind of represent our culture in a way. And that's eventually how the Latvian national team, all that ended up. But from the very beginning, I'd say from the camp, from my cousin, from my sister, that's what got me into it.
So then you're in high school at Northgate High School, and this is where, of course, I met you. I actually had your sister in class for a little while, too, when she was at the school. But then, you know, obviously you play freshman year, but I had you in class as a sophomore.
Yeah.
And taking team sports, we're doing all different sports, and we've touched on how my classes work in other episodes and what we do. But you're at the beginning of your sophomore year, how tall were you at the beginning of your sophomore high school year? Do you remember?
I remember freshman year, I was like 5'10". Sophomore year is when I hit my growth spurt, I'm pretty sure.
Well, it was in the summer after your sophomore year.
Yeah, summer
really
after.
Okay. Because I think, you know, you were between 5'11", 6 feet maybe your sophomore year. Like you weren't a shrimp, like you weren't like 5'2 or 5'3". But I remember, you know, having you in class as a sophomore and then not seeing you over the summer. And the first time I saw you coming back your junior year, I was like, holy Moses, Mix, how tall are you? So that growth spurt, you went from essentially 6 foot to what your junior year?
I think it was 6'4", like 6'4", 6'5", somewhere around there. Yeah.
Which
it
is
was like
a huge jump.
Yeah.
Now at Northgate, you know, you graduated in the class of 2020, which for people who are paying attention or have been paying attention, you know kind of what's going to come into play here. But you had a very successful junior season. And let's talk a little bit about colleges, because that's the other thing that's different is how volleyball does their recruiting, right? Every sport's a little bit different. So your junior year finishes at Northgate. This is the 18-19 school year. Were you getting talked to by schools at that point, or what was the recruitment situation at the end of your junior year of high school? Do you remember?
Yes, I wasn't that highly recruited at that point. That was the summer where I really started kind of going off in tournaments or like showing up. So at the time, I had some smaller Division I schools like McKendree, Lewis, talk to me, and Hawaii was always there in the background, but it was just it wasn't like consistent communication. It was just kind of very vague, very, very little stuff. So it was just like kind of like breadcrumbs. But eventually that summer of junior year, I went to High Performance, and that's where BYU saw me. They saw me at the practice gym before because they recruited my teammate or my old teammate. They saw me and kept in touch with me because I had best practice of my life when that dude was in the gym. So kept in touch, stopped talking to me. Junior year summer happened, played at High Performance. And that's where the new assistant coach, Micah Nione, who's not our coach anymore, but loved him, amazing coach, found me. And I had a great tournament that year. I'd say I just popped off a little bit. Like I was always starting, didn't step off the court, was always tired, but like always kept balling out. And it was just right around that time, that's when I got my offers from like BYU and Hawaii, which were my top two. And then from there, I just went from deciding.
So let's talk about your senior year of high school, you know, 2019-2020. So volleyball season, for those people who aren't aware, for boys is in the spring in high schools in California. We know going into that year, you're looking to have a humongous senior season. Our team has high expectations, right? Like if not winning section, being one of the top two, essentially guaranteed. I mean, not guaranteed, nothing's guaranteed, but we knew we're going to be one of the top two in the section, you know, unless worst case scenario, right? But of course, we know what happens. February is when the spring season starts. You guys start doing tryouts, no problem. Take us through what it was like. You know, we start the season. We just get it started, essentially, right?
Yep.
And then March comes. What do you remember about the season as far as the amount you played, and then just take us through what the moments were like when we first found out things were getting canceled.
Yeah, it sucked. Of course, like working out summer, having an amazing junior year, and then coming working hard all summer and coming back, I was like, oh, these kids don't know what they're about to hit them. Like I was ready. I was better than before. I was confident in my abilities on the court. The season comes around. I think we played Pittsburgh, or I think it was Pittsburgh was our last game. And it was just like the COVID sanctions, like only parents in the stands or like nobody in the stands and just the other team, whatever. And when those games hit, I was like, wow, this is probably going to be our last game. I heard about like high schools closing down already and all that. And I was like, let's just have fun with this. Let's just do what we came to do and just like, let's just ball out. And I was like, all right. So we just went hard, had a fun game. And after that game, I was like, all right, that's it. I'd say I was prepared. I was bummed, of course, but.
Now, had you committed at that point already, or did that happen in that spring?
I think I already was. Yeah, I was committed at that point. I had my blue shoes. I remember because I had the blue shoes for BYU. Yeah.
So season's done, right? School's out. No one goes to school. You guys, you're the class that graduated, you know, with 10 students at a time at Northgate. It's how we did it at our place. You know, you're going to BYU. What were your thoughts going heading into that summer? Because it was something new, right? We'd never been through this. But do you remember how you felt personally? Like you didn't get the season. Okay, but now I'm graduated. What was next?
I'd say I have a good work ethic at the time, like still do. But I use it kind of as fuel to just really hit the gym and really go crazy because I wasn't the highest recruited. Gym didn't jump the highest. And I really want to say, okay, I'm going to be a BYU player now. I need to step up my game. So I spent the summer just lifting. I worked out that summer. I went with some of the teammates in my class that were going to commit to BYU. So there's David Hawkins, Zio Meyer, Jack Palmer, Anthony Cherfon, and me. We all went to Zio's house in Illinois just so we could have kind of a training camp because we knew COVID was going to shut us down. And we were just like, we're young. We're going to do some dumb mistakes of like meeting with each other. But we were like, screw it. This is the one thing we're going to do. We're going to stick together because we're going to be together for the next how many years. So we just worked out and just played volleyball, played a ton of beach, lifted weights all together. It was just like a real bonding moment. So I'd say my summer was great. It sucked for the high school season, all that, but summer after that, it was just fuel to the fire just to get good for BYU.
Now, every college was a little bit different in that 2021 school year. There were some schools where only freshmen went to campus. There were some schools where nobody went to campus. There were some schools where half the schools went to campus. What was your situation at BYU heading into your freshman year? So you start your freshman year, obviously that's in the fall of 2020. What exactly was that like?
It was interesting. I'm pretty sure it was all on Zoom, maybe one hybrid class. The thing is BYU is pretty conservative when it comes to their beliefs about COVID. For the most part, at that time, we were pretty much shut down in our rooms, like in our dorm rooms at the time. And we just kind of just stayed on our laptops the whole time and studied. Yeah.
And then we go into that year, the season of the 2021 season. That was very different as far as crowds. You know, every school had different restrictions, things like that. And then you were redshirting anyways, which means that you weren't actually playing, but that gives you an extra year of eligibility when it comes to college athletics. So did you know you were going to be redshirting? And take us through how that was, knowing you got to watch a season, but you weren't actually able to like be out there.
First off, so as a redshirt, you usually don't travel, but an unlucky scenario struck out happened that one of our outside Cyrus tore his Achilles and then they needed one more player. And we had a ton of freshmen outside in my class that could go. And I was the one outside they took with, which I'm super blessed to have the opportunity to do that. So traveling with the guys, training with them and working out was just awesome. It was a learning experience. And I was pretty confident, like I wasn't going to play because both our outsides were really good at the time. I wasn't up to their level yet. Just being able to play with them, learn from them, and having our opposite, like Gabby Garcia and our outside Davide Gardini and setter like Will Stanley and middle Mickey Auhide, and just learning what they've learned from overseas play and from just their experience at BYU playing all these universities was amazing. And I always wanted to get out there, but I knew I wasn't prepared to really like, I wasn't mentally prepared, to be completely honest. I was just ready to train hard. But when it came to a game, I was like, I wasn't mentally prepared to go in at the time.
And that year was a very, very, very successful season for the BYU men's volleyball team. Do you remember the final record?
Oh my gosh. We maybe lost like once or three times maybe or something. Yeah. We barely lost and went to the finals, but the finals, man, those were tough. Those were real tough to watch.
So then you go through that freshman year. Now you've been through a freshman year of college. Things are somewhat getting back to normal at that point. And then you have, you know, the summer and then to look forward to what for you was freshman year of playing, but really your sophomore year of college. What was that summer like after that season finished, right? So you've redshirted and then you now are looking forward to going back to school and it, you know, being a good situation.
Yeah.
But also knowing you get to play, were you overexcited? Did you try to temper your excitement during the summer? How did that work for you?
As an athlete, you want that confidence yourself. Like, I'm playing this year. Like, I'm going to show that I'm going to work my butt off, that I can play this year and make that cut. A lot of things were going on in my life at the time, but I just really dialed in on volleyball and weights because, like, I took it to heart, like going to crunch every day and just like trying to just increase my verge, get my arm swing faster, all this stuff. Like, I just locked in mentally and I was like, I just got to work hard this summer so that when I come back, I show people what I really could do. Cause I knew my potential and I didn't reach it at the time. I just knew what I needed to do to get it done. So I just kind of locked in and just worked my butt off.
So going into last year, which was your freshman year of playing, but sophomore year of college, what was your height and what's your height now?
I'm 6'6".
6'6". A legit 6'6", by the way, as well. And not a skinny, scrawny 6'6", either.
Finally.
You know, an in-shape 6'6", filled out 6'6". So going into the beginning of that season, you know, you're preparing for it, you're getting ready for it, you're back at school. And BYU has a very, very raucous home crowd situation for the men's volleyball team.
Yeah.
How exciting was it when you first got to the season and started getting into it right away?
On the court, I've never felt that amount of nerves in my life. Like, just like the first moment of stepping in there and like 3,000 people screaming while you're serving or like screaming when the other team serves. It's just, you see all the eyes staring at you. And I was shut down. I just knew, I think the coaches knew I kind of was at that point too, but I feel like that experience itself, just like that one, was so harsh and so like straight up in your face, like, oh my gosh, that it kind of prepared me for the rest. So like coming in, I was stoked, but the nerves, man, was insane. It was just crazy feeling.
Now, let's talk a little bit about men's volleyball on the West Coast, college-wise. You know, a lot of people who know about college sports hear all the divisions, right? They hear Pac-12, Big 12, WAC, Mountain West. Men's college volleyball is not like that, because not every school has a men's volleyball team. And so what many people may not know is that there's not like seven or eight divisions. Many of the divisions are compact, and some of the divisions have really big schools and really small schools all in the same division. So how was that getting to travel a lot, actually? Because in volleyball, you're not just going over to play Utah or, you know, stuff like, or Weber State, right? It's not just making a small jump in Utah. You're getting to travel a lot. And that was when travel was just getting back too. So talk a little bit about how that was, getting to travel all over on the West Coast during your first actual season of playing.
It was definitely interesting. Just all the mask mandates and all that, like, it was just, again, like at the time, nobody knew what was going on. They just kind of just followed the rules. So we, of course, did it. And playing with masks sometimes sucked. But when it came to traveling, it was kind of just it feels like a business trip. That's the best way to put it. You just know what you have to do when you get there. Rest up, play the game, go back home, basically. I feel like we've all experienced it. Have you ever like flown to like on vacations like pretty frequently, like what, three times a year? It just became kind of normal. It wasn't anything crazy. It's just, you just knew that you're, take the 1 hour bus ride, take a nap. Everyone had their routine. Take a nap, go take your seat at the gate, play some video games, eat some food, get on the plane, take another nap. And like, it was weird. It was crazy because COVID times, but it was fun. Like, I'd say like, you just get close to the team because you guys are spending like 5 hours at a time just sitting in super tight spaces, trying to just like on a bus or a car or anywhere. It's just, it's a good time.
The other part about it is you know, when you go, so you're playing more than one match generally against the same school. You know, baseball will play whether it's two or three games. Well, basketball, you just play one. Football, you just play one. So in volleyball, typically it was two, right? But would it sometimes Friday, Saturdays? Was it sometimes Saturday, Sundays? Well, maybe not Sunday for BYU. But so basically you would travel, like take us through like a weekend. Like if you were going to USC or UCLA or down there.
Sometimes it depends. Sometimes we do Friday, Saturday or Thursday, Saturday, but we always fly home on Sunday. So usually I'd say we wake up at like 6 a.m., take a bus at like 7. And yeah, we already have all our stuff packed, go in the locker room. We get suitcases, we get backpacks so we, with our uniforms and all that. We put in our shoes, clothes for the week, everything. Throw it on the bus, go take a ride to Salt Lake, fly over. And then usually we rent a car, like we rent a car. And actually most of the time last season was we went straight to the facility. Like if it was USC, Pepperdine, wherever, we went straight and we would have to take our suitcases, throw them on the ground, take out our practice clothes, change in the bathroom and come back out and change right off the, like practice right off the plane. But you could just tell everybody is just so stiff. And like, you know how you get that like groggy feeling when you're off a plane and just traveling all day? Like it was just weird shaking out of that and trying to like lock in, be like, okay, like go hard. Let's freaking swing the ball or dig, do some crazy stuff. Yeah, we usually hit the practice facility sometimes the night before a game. Some of the teammates either went to the pool or got like a recovery lift in, like lightweight, a lot of reps just to feel the blood flowing in the muscles, then go to sleep and then do your routine before the game day when it's like breakfast. And then we always had serve and pass in the mornings. And then we had a big like 4-hour break before the game. So that 4 hours, you either went and got snacks or like you ate what you had to do. You listened to your music. You watched your show. You did whatever you had to do to lock in. And then it was game day. Then we just go.
For you, how much different is the coaching in college compared to club or high school? Because every sport has unlimited amount of adjustments you can make, right? And you have game plans, of course, but there's limited ways you can enact those in volleyball, right?
Oh, yeah.
You're not running 80 plays or 100 plays. So what's the biggest difference in coaching in college compared to club and high school before that?
So at the time, my club coach was Roger Worsley, who's been experienced for like 20, 30 years of straight volleyball. So he kind of just like beat it into us like consistently through conditioning and all this fundamentals, technique and all that. And always like he was a very old school like coach, but amazing coach nonetheless. He went hard. Like you just go, if you didn't get this one dig, if you took a single play off, he'd bring up some stuff and then start railing like 20 volleyballs at you. But like you knew it was only he only meant the best for you and for the team. So it was like you're fine with it. Like you get pissed off in the moment, but like you're fine with it. You're like, you know, this is gonna make me better. This is what the team needs, this is what we need to do. You understand that at least afterwards, even if you get emotional.
Well, and the difference is too, let's make sure people understand, in high school volleyball, not everybody who's playing high school volleyball is trying to play in college. But as you get older in club, most of the guys playing club at those ages have at least entertained the idea of wanting to continue their career. So the level of seriousness is going to definitely be up for club as compared to typical boys high school volleyball.
Yeah, completely. Sorry. Thank you for mentioning that. You're completely right about that. It's just high school volleyball. Again, a lot of fresh meat, but just new people, freshmen coming in, never played volleyball in their life. Some of them are just more athletically gifted so they can just like have better coordination, whatever. So they can pick it up pretty easily. Again, just depending on the person.
But then going to college now, what for you is the biggest difference over the last 2 years?
The biggest thing is, they kind of take a step back. Most of the time, like at that point, I feel like they understand athletes have things like engraved in their brains that are like, this is the rotations are almost exactly the same unless you have a weird position matchup or whatever. Some of the main thing volleyball coaches try to get are their general fundamentals, like what's important to them. So at BYU, it's serving, it's blocking and attacking to the corners. Those are like the biggest things that are big here at BYU. Like, but each school is different. Sometimes like, I don't know. I haven't talked to a lot of people from other schools about this, but some of them might say certain things about defense or about attacking. Each school has their own. And the thing is, they just really try to get those fundamentals, the school's fundamentals into your system and you to play their volleyball. that's the biggest thing. They take a step back, but we have meetings like one-on-ones because sometimes in practice they don't they'll critique you like you were a little bit late on that, like from hitting that set, or you should make a move on that ball. Or sometimes they get angry because there's a ball that's to your left that you just didn't see and it just gets bounced right there. Like, why aren't you making a move? But it's usually just the general fundamentals that they really kind of just harp on you and just like, but it's definitely like not as straight in your face as it was. They kind of expect you to take your own reins and kind of control it yourself.
And then the other part is how video has changed a lot, right? You know, where now you literally can see anything that has happened in a match you've been in, or, and I'm sure even in practice and things like that. So how has that helped you in the last year?
Oh, it's awesome. I think too much information is bad for you because then you get stuck in your own head. But definitely when you're working on like focusing on certain details, like this year I focused a lot on my serving and it's increased a lot because I noticed from where I was contacting the ball, like just and I realized that the more I just let my arm swing instead of forcing, the faster the ball goes. And like actually feeling that, because I've always been told that, but actually feeling that experience of that and seeing that on film and seeing how that like changes is amazing. Of course, there's too much, but also just watching pro volleyball, like the greats, Karch Kurai, Jiba, or Jiba's my favorite player of all time. The dude's a freaking animal. But like just watching a ton of these crazy international players go and seeing how they see the game and how they put it in there, like teaches you a lot quicker than you think, just being able to watch how they play.
Yeah. Now, let's talk a little bit about your teammates at BYU. Another thing about college volleyball is there is a lot of international influence in it. You know, just like basketball now is, where you have men's basketball teams and women's as well, where there's international players that are coming over to go to college in the United States. Volleyball has been doing that for quite a while. So on your team right now, how many different countries are represented?
Right now, Poland and Italy. And oh, we have a Brazilian guy joining us this year, but his season switched with us. He's a libero, but yeah, again, his season ends in January because like when you go south, you know the seasons change. So he's going to be joining us when our season starts. That'll definitely be an interesting curve with the new guy, but like I'm excited to meet him. He seems like a great player. Seems like a great guy. His parents have come here multiple times. I've already met him. So seems like great people. Lovely family. But again, internationally right now, it's going to be Brazil, Italy, and Poland. And Latvia, of course. Sorry.
Although you don't live there, but that's where we're going next. So this past summer, the summer of 2022, I saw, of course, through your Instagram and other things, stuff about the Latvian national team. And this is when we first started talking about getting you to come on here and talk. So tell us the story of how you got the opportunity, how this even came about. Of course, you mentioned you're Latvian and you're very proud of your heritage, but talk about the Latvian national team situation. Like, how did that first come up?
First came up was, I'm pretty sure from hearing from my parents, because I kind of got reached out randomly by Artur Svitkovskis, who's the team coordinator. I don't know how to say it the right way, but he organizes all the events, the games, and then like talks to the coaches about players, because they say, oh, this Latvian kid's playing at BYU in America. And they know BYU because there's a lot of like BYU legends like Taylor Sander, Ben Patch, all these greats, or like Casey Patterson, a ton of great volleyball players that came out of the school and are known internationally. But the way he ended up finding about me was my friend from camp. His dad emailed one of the coaches, was like, hey, there's these, my son and this another guy in the United States, his son plays in Canada in the Division One, and I was playing in the US. His son was supposed to also go there, but he didn't have a full Latvian citizenship, which I was lucky enough to have because my parents did it right when I was born. So I got very lucky with that situation. They watched some video, they watched some games, like, okay, we want this guy to come here. So he reached out and we changed my the paperwork, the FIVB paperwork. So it goes from USA Volleyball to Latvia Volleyball. And now I can't change back, which I'm very happy about. I mean, USA Volleyball is great, but from what I've heard from a lot of players, it's just extremely political. But still, amazing program. Can't say anything bad about them. But yeah, that's eventually how I just landed at Latvia. It was just kind of just coincidentally that the email went out and I never contacted them, but just getting a DM one day from this guy. I was like, Ciao Mika, do you speak Latvian? Yada, yada, yada. Like, yeah, we want to see if you want to come out and play for our national team and all this. So it was really exciting.
So this was during last school year, correct?
Yeah, the end of last school year, yeah.
Now, for the Latvian national team, Okay, so are you practicing every day? Are there tryouts, or is it like this is the team? How did that work?
They cycle through players to kind of decide who's going to stay, who's going to go. So in the first part, I saw snippets of like a lot of people playing, a lot of people trying out, and just like not trying out, but like you get invited. And then you practice until the coach decides whether you stay or not. I wasn't able to travel to Austria, but luckily when I went to Finland, I started playing better and played there for like a couple points at the end of a set. But yeah, it was just an interesting experience.
Well, and the age range is also different, right? We're talking national team. So you had to be on the younger end.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
So like take us through the age ranges of people that were with the team from this past summer.
I'd say the oldest was mid-30s, I'm pretty sure. I never really knew their age, but I knew just about. So I'd say like, I think it was like mid-30s was the oldest, maybe like late 30s. But those guys were still like, the mind they have on there like is insane. Like they can find these shots. The setter knows, Denis Petros, best setter I've ever played with. The dude was just like, every time, like if I had a bad swing, it was almost never his fault. Like he was, I don't know what's in it, what steroids he's taking, but that man was always just on the spot with it. But it's just the age range was again from like 35, and our youngest was 17. I think he turned 18, but he was a really good libero. Really, really cool guy.
So you have that experience this past summer. Obviously, that's something that very few people on the earth get to do, is to be invited by any national team to participate. What is the biggest thing you think it helped you with?
Just overall IQ. I always ask the guys questions like, how do you, there's this one, the 4-4 shot, which is from like, I'm outside hit front left, and I was going to hit it to the inside the 10-foot line on the other side. This one guy, Atvaris Ozolin, she was really good at that shot. And we trained it, like even on high balls, how to hit that shot. So we started working on that and just learning first off how to be consistent with that and like getting that hand contact. And then when it comes to the feeling with the setter, like realizing what to do when the ball's in this position, how to move to this spot, like all these little details. Every time I had a question, I always asked the older guys like, hey, what would you do to do work on this? What we do to work on this? And I was just like, I was just trying to learn the whole summer just so I could like grow for BYU this year. But this coming year, I'm expecting a lot more of myself on the national team and like start getting us to move places. But all around, it was just a huge learning experience. I feel like it benefited me with my like just like lifestyle here at BYU. I figured out a better balance from volleyball to life and just all these other things and just the relationships I made. I learned a lot about myself and grew a lot in a lot of ways, I'd say.
Well, listen, that's the Latvian part, but I want to talk. There's so many things I want to talk to you about as far as BYU is concerned, because, you know, at Northgate, we have a strong Mormon contingent of students, right?
Mm-hmm.
Throughout the years, you know, the families have different numbers of children, depending on whether it's 3, 4, 5, 8, whatever it may be. And so we've had students that go to BYU, right? Plenty of students. And, you know, not that all Mormons go to BYU, but many of them, that's what they're aspiring to do. So I remember first when I heard you were going to BYU, I was like, wait, pretty sure Mix isn't Mormon. But therein lies the interesting part, because you are definitely in the minority of students and even athletes, right, that go there that haven't even been Mormon throughout their life. So my question is, was that ever mentioned to you? How does that work during recruitment? Because not every school is religiously affiliated, right? But yeah. BYU is. So does that come up at all in your recruitment situation, or no? There was no, not even mentioned.
Oh yeah. It's told to you a lot, because there's also like, it is the LDS university. It is the school, as you said, is all the LDS kids, everybody aspires to usually come to. And including there's the honor code where it signs off you can't do certain things like, you know, sex, drugs, like alcohol, among other things, coffee or tea, all these other things. So it definitely is a learning curve with that, to say the least. But I mean, you just kind of, you grow to kind of accept it. But also it's just, it's great to see how of course, there's a lot of drama in the news about BYU and all this. But being a student here, I've honestly never experienced like a group of such nice people. I say like, you know, Northgate has nice people, some not so nice people, all this stuff. But for the most part here at BYU, every time I've had a conversation with like a stranger about all this, some of the nicest people I've ever met, like just polite and just like great people. But it is a learning curve for someone who is not a member of the church. It's definitely like people look at it. Sometimes you get like some of the funny experiences that happen is like, funny thing is I'm in a missionary prep class. And because my old counselor is their daughter. And again, two amazing people, brother and sister Mullen, love them to death. Great teachers. And it helps me learn more about like the missionary process and the church and all that. But when I was in that class sitting next to somebody and the looks you get was like, oh, which was your favorite? What's your favorite thing from like Doctrine and Covenants or like from the Book of Mormon? I was like, oh, I'm sorry. I don't read it that often. I'm not a member. You just see the silence just hit. And it was like, oh. And sometimes like some people get uncomfortable about it and like move away. And it's just kind of funny. I'm like, I'm not judging you. I hope you don't judge me. I just have different beliefs. But like, there is some judging involved. Like you can tell, like, oh my gosh, okay, this guy's a sinner. You need to leave. Like, I can't be next to him. I can't be seen. Sometimes it's like that, but I would say very rarely, but you can find some interesting experiences here when you tell people like, oh, I'm not a member. I'm not a member of the church. It's definitely a little bit social. It makes life socially interesting, you know?
Right. Well, okay. But here's why I say this, because there's so much a high percentage of Mormon students, obviously at BYU. Like we got to, I mean, I don't know what the exact percentage is, but there cannot be very many other students you know that did not grow up Mormon either, right? It's not a huge amount.
Yeah, definitely.
So the natural perception is going to be, oh, well, you must be Mormon, like you said, in the class, like you're in the class. You talked about how it has been in classes. How also has it been socially outside when, you know, is it people whispering, hey, and Romanus, yeah, he's not Mormon. Is it, you know, how do people find out when it's not brought up in a class? You know, you're not walking into a gathering announcing it. Hey, everybody, I'm here.
Yeah.
I'm not Mormon. What are some situations that have arisen? How do people find out? How do you go about telling people? Like, how has that been?
Going out for the most part, most of my friends that I'm here at BYU aren't members. Like my roommate, Gavin, brother for life, love the guy. He's not a member. And it's just usually what I think a lot of the athletes are members. It's just like usually you grow a lot of relationships with them. And then if they know somebody, you kind of just know them too. So most of the time they already know. Like I haven't really walked in. The one occasion was, oh, so I have a girlfriend, Olivia. She's a member. Her family are religious. It's just kind of hearing the news of like how it comes up to families. Like, oh, Olivia, your boyfriend, is he not a member? Her grandma stalked my Instagram or Facebook and saw, oh, he's not a member. And she made it a point to like bring it up to dinner. But lovely family. That's at least what Olivia told me. But lovely family. I love all of them. They're all amazing people. I cannot say anything bad about them. But it's just funny when these things come up. People already find out before you know they found out. Like I don't know how that works, but it just happens that way. So a lot of the times when I'm in social situations, I don't need to tell them. And it's just like, it's just already known. But sometimes like, I don't know, that's like one out of like 1,000 situations. But like sometimes a situation like that happens where it's like, wow, they really did that. Like, that's crazy. I didn't know that. Okay. Yeah. I don't know.
Okay. So you already talked about a little bit as far as being in that missionary prep class, right? Because we have had a couple episodes of this show where one of my best friends growing up, he was Mormon, and I've talked to another former Northgate student athlete who actually became Mormon.
Oh, wow.
While she was in college, not at BYU. But for you, you know, there's missionary prep class. Are there other classes that you have to take each year? Because people who don't know about this is that almost every student goes on a mission. And when they're an athlete, right? Whether they're a male athlete, female athlete, doesn't matter. But obviously that's not going to happen for you. So are there any other like classes? Is there a class a year you have to take, like other religious classes? What other parts of the education have been just something you had to really just open your mind to and just get used to?
There's a religious class requirement you need to take if you're not a member, or even if you are a member, there's a requirement you need to take. But I say that usually extends through, I think, the end of your sophomore year, maybe junior year. That's when like you can stop taking them, just to fill out the credit requirements for the degree. There's a handful of classes you can choose from. You're not going to take all of them, of course, but sometimes you have to like situations that I have to sometimes deal with is like go up to the teacher, like in a Book of Mormon class, be like, "Hey, professor, I'm Mix Ramanis. I'm on the men's volleyball team. I just want to let you know I'm not a member of the church, so I don't know these scriptures very well, all this stuff." And then they sometimes can give you a little bit of leeway because they understand, oh, you're here to play for our school. Like, okay, I get it. We'll help you a little bit with these assignments, because most of the assignments are meant for students who already know the scriptures like the back of their hand. So sometimes you get like a little bit of help with that. But yeah, it's just, again, it's just interesting. It's just a learning curve.
And then for your family, at the beginning, when you first said you were going to BYU, what was their mindset, their mentality about it? How was that in the Ramanist household and family?
They were the happiest people alive when they heard it. Like, because, you know, high school, you do some dumb things, things happen, all this. And then they hear like, oh, you're going to go to the cleanest school in the country. And they're just like, my parents are so happy about it. They loved it first off because it's a good degree. And that I'm happy about the decision, of course, first and foremost. But you can just tell, like they say, "Hey, Mix, I really wanted you to go here. You know why?" And they're like, "I know why." And it's all this stuff and all that. So it's just keeps you clean, but it's like it's definitely like it makes the parents happy too. So I'm like,
let's talk about your school schedule compared to your sports schedule. Before we started recording today, I was just asking you a couple of questions about preseason training and what that consists of for volleyball. But now you are in season training. We're taping this in the beginning of November, and you are currently, I think you said it's the 20-hour a week schedule. Do they set your classes specific times on purpose? If they, you know, for athletes or for the specific sports like volleyball, so that you're available for those time frames? And how has that been getting used to it? You know, obviously you've done it, but, you know, this year, like any changes and what's the week look like for you now?
So first off, there are two things that always stay the same: weights and conditioning. No matter what, if it's 8 hours, 20 hours, it's weights are always starts at 6:25 a.m., ends at 7:45. Usually we go till 8 to finish the whole workout. But that's like he says break at 7:45 because some kids have class at 8. So that's always normal. Then conditioning, it changes the time. But Tuesday, Thursdays, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, weights, Tuesday, Thursdays, conditioning. And 8 hours a week, usually the time slots that are cut out for us that we're not allowed to have classes, the coaches always tell the counselors, 12 to 3. Anything in between there, we either have a meeting, conditioning, or practice.
Okay.
And that's with 8 hours or 20 hours. It just depends. Like sometimes you're going to have 2 hours because you have a meeting and a practice. Sometimes you're just going to have the meeting that day if it's in the 8 hour week, or sometimes you're just going to have the practice. And then when the 20 hours weeks roll in, then that's when, again, the classes are based around the 12 to 3, but sometimes you're going to have one class where you have this one day, you have this test you have to take before class or this. You know, sometimes this happens. Coaches understand that. So you just tell the coach, you're like, okay, I'm not going to be able to, I'm going to have to leave practice early this one time because of this situation. But for the most part, almost none of it intersects.
And then is that Monday through Friday, Monday through Saturday?
Monday through Friday, Monday through Friday.
Okay. So you have Saturday and Sunday off, and then you're back at it early Monday morning because the weights is still in the morning, correct?
Yes, sir.
So for you, what are your expectations for yourself? How do you hope to be different this season?
The thing is, I think about this all the time. I literally have a journal where I write all these things down. So I could, the whole podcast could be based off of this. So I'm trying to like dial it down for you right now. First and foremost, be the best teammate I can. That's one of the team pillars, but it definitely like attributes to like, what's the quote say? Like, actions speak louder than words. So I need to prove myself in the weight room, on the volleyball court, all these ways that I work the hardest. I'll keep you accountable. You keep me accountable. I always I expect the best. I hope you expect the best from me. And we always just keep the competitiveness in the gym. We always keep fighting each other in the weight room, like wherever it is. We just keep kind of pushing off each other as momentum, because a rising tide lifts all boats. So that's first and foremost what I want to do, is just be a good teammate and push myself so the kids see, my teammates see that and they start pushing themselves. Other than that, on a more selfish goal, I want to be an All-American. That's just what it is. Like straight up, that's a personal goal of mine, but it doesn't matter if we don't win anything. I'll sacrifice that if that means we win the championship. That's not what I'm really going for. I just want to play hard and have fun, but that's definitely an outcome that I'd be like, If I deserve it, I deserve it. But first and foremost, it's just team first. Just making sure our team wins, our team gets it done, that we're all just happy and we're all healthy and we all just play hard and love the sport.
you know, as more people become aware of you on campus, which they are, and, you know, I think we mentioned it, or I mentioned it in the intro, as far as the Instagram, the BYU men's volleyball Instagram is great. Like, there's all kinds of stuff being put up all the time. So you guys are out there. How is it on campus as far as the popularity of the volleyball team? You know, obviously the games are packed because it's a small gym and a really tight, compact area. Are people aware of it? You know, do they go, oh, hey, those guys, those are the volleyball guys? Like, how is it on campus?
You do get noticed. It's nothing crazy. Like, not everybody knows you. You're not like a god on this campus. You're like a normal student. But sometimes, like, hey, I love watching your games. It's all this. I'm like, hey, thanks, man, or whoever you are. And sometimes it's like, you get the funny part is you always get that one fan that's like, oh my gosh, it's Mixer, like whatever, like this. And it's really fun to experience, just like for the one time. It's definitely a feeling you've never felt before. It's really nice. It's really nice that people support you and that they love watching you guys play and like support the team. And at BYU, I say like men's volleyball is one of the most popular teams on campus too. It's like, We show out, like we get a crowd, all the kids, like we have the rock section, which goes bonkers. You know, we have great fans, like of course situations arise, like as we know what happened in the past. And that's, of course, that's type of situations in college should never happen. Never. Again, for the most part, I know BYU members, like fans are all great people, all super nice to you. And it's just like, it's surreal. It's amazing around campus.
Yeah, and if people who don't know what I'm talking about, you need to subscribe to the BYU Men's Volleyball Instagram, or Mixes as well. We'll talk about his address at the end, because you will see highlights, and it literally looks like people are hanging over the court. It's that kind of an atmosphere because of the way it's designed. So it is a phenomenal look. I would love to see a match there someday. But now let's talk about just being an athlete at BYU, because every college is a little bit different. Your volleyball, of course, there's football, baseball, basketball. There's all the sports, many, many different sports. What does that give you? Is there specific places you guys, do you have your own eating area? Are there different places you can go on campus that or work out that others can't? What other kinds of, it's not special treatment, but just what places are there you can go? What things are there you can do that you can't do if you aren't a scholarship athlete?
Three things come to mind. There's the athlete weight room. There's one in the SAB, the student athletic building, which is where football, baseball, and basketball has their own, but football and baseball lift. Nice glass facility, great weight room, all that. And then my favorite weight room, the volleyball weight, or like the one in the field house where our stadium is. Best strength coach I've ever had, Terrell Moore. Shout out if he ever hears this, you're the man. But yeah, there's the weight room in the field house where like track and field, swim, cross country, tennis, golf, soccer. I forget all those other sports, but cheer, all that, throwers, all that. We lift there. And then there's also in the SAB and the student athlete building, there's this one section on the top floor where it's like our study area. Some athletes are required to hit certain number of hours each week in there to like get their homework done. So that, again, GPA, work on your stuff, because some athletes slack. I used to slack, but I'm happy I say I don't do that anymore. That's thank
good.
God.
That's yeah. Good.
But you spend your hours in there studying all that. And you also just make relationships out there with like other athletes, which is just super fun. And then there's also Legends Grill, which is it used to be athletes only back in COVID times, but now it's opened up to everybody. But it's kind of like buffet style. You get two swipes on your card. You go, one's for food, you get $9 a day for food. You get $9 a day, and you also get a swipe at nutrition where you fill out a survey on your phone. And they give you like protein bar, protein shake, probiotics, turkey sandwich, bagel, whatever. Bunch of snacks in a bag, and you just take that with you, and a smoothie too. And luckily they brought acai bowls this year, which is awesome. We have the nutrition area. We have Legends where we get the $9 swipe. So we just get a buffet style, $9 a day. We eat as much as we want. Then we go. Yeah, that's about it.
That's good. That's good. Now, another question is, you know, when people play high school athletics, right, and then go to whatever college they go to, it happens, I think, the most in basketball, where, you know, you have your students who are like, oh, you know what? I could be as good as that guy. I could be as good as that girl. I was really good in high school. I could do it. And, you know, they'll, oh, let's play one-on-one, right? Sometimes it's football, but you can't really just, like, walk out into a football practice or anything like that. I would guess there's not a lot of people that are like, oh yeah, I can play volleyball, because it's a very specialized sport in high school, right? Yeah. And if someone thinks they're great at it, or, oh, I was so good in high school, it's like, all right, it's a different world, my friend, like that you're showing them. Has you ever had anything where someone tried to tell you, oh, they were really good, or where you've seen people like, oh no, I can play, and the speed and the power is immensely different, right? Like, we're talking two different worlds. So have you had any experience with that at all so far?
I'd say for the most part, no. Like, I haven't had anyone be like, oh yeah, I could play with you guys and all that. It's just because we play good volleyball. Like, we play hard, fast and all that. So I'm like, there's no way, buddy. Like, I'm sorry. I've been working way too hard at this for you to just show up and tell me, no, I can do that. I'm like, heck no. But sometimes there's an occasion, like from what I've heard from friends, again, I don't know if this is true. If anyone hears, just a rumor, but the UVU's the university right down the street from BYU, Utah Valley University. They have a men's club volleyball team that's like, oh yeah, we could beat BYU and all this stuff. So at that point, I'm like, okay, talk your talk. But I'm like, if you play us, we will whoop you. Like, we will whoop you with this shape. And that's the one situation where it's like, okay, some players are decent, like they're good. But again, it's just a different level.
And then finally, you know, women's volleyball, men's volleyball play different seasons. So what's the, you know, so you're practicing obviously at different times, right? Your season is their off season. Their season is your off season. What's the relationship like on campus between your two squads, right? You are playing the same sport, but, you know, is it friendly? You're backing them. They're backing you. How is that on campus there?
I'd say for the most part, we're good friends. We go hang out like all the time, or, like, depending who you are with who it is again, but you either hang out all the time or you're just good friends. I think I'm on good terms with everyone on the women's volleyball team. I'm not like crazy good friends with anybody, but like, actually, no, I'd say I'm pretty good friends with some people. It's just a nice relationship to have, because like sometimes you can talk about the sport. Like me, I have this running joke with a girl named Elise on the women's volleyball team where it's like this 4-4 shot, because I've been working on it so much.
Right.
That's like, I just kind of like, okay, this is what you got to do. I learned this. Like, trust me when I say this, this will work for you. Next thing you know, she hits it. She's like, oh my gosh. And I'm like, yes, keep doing that. Like, it's just like the give and take. Like, you can always help each other out with the same sport. And it's just fun. It's just good relationships. They're all good people. Gotta love it.
Right. So you talk about how your experience is great at BYU. You know, what is one of the funny stories or things that you've seen, you know, that you think, you know what, this could only happen at BYU? Because you have a lot of different situations. We've talked about them, right? Not being of the faith. Of course, being an athlete is not the same as just being a normal student on campus. What is there anything that comes to mind when I say, what's one of the funniest things you've seen since you got to Provo?
It's just the romantic connections you see around campus sometimes. Like, you see them like sitting next to each other, holding each other's heads like this. And it's just like, it's just weird. That's the best thing. But I can't say one thing that I saw that was really crazy. I don't know. Yeah, I know. I'd say like some really weird cuddling positions, like in front of the temple, or like all this stuff. Like, I'd say that's the most weirdest thing I've seen, because, like, you know, they're new to relationships and all that. So I understand why it happens and all that. But it's kind of funny to look at. Like, why are you doing that? Like, come on, man. Like, you just could just hold it. I don't know. It's funny stuff. Yeah,
that's good. Now, earlier on, you said you had a funny story. I don't know if that was BYU related, but
it is. It is okay, a little bit. So one thing we do, it brings me back to your class. One thing I used to flex all the time to my teammates is my my championship win at the team sports.
Ultimate extravaganza. Oh, yeah.
Exactly. Exactly. So one time a year here for conditioning, we have like a fun time. We either do a run around campus, like we take, what's it called? Scavenger hunt. We do a scavenger hunt around campus with pictures with certain stuff. So we really sprint around campus trying to beat the other team. And the other is ultimate frisbee. And I've been undefeated for 3 years because I'm like, I'm the champion, man. I talk my crap. I show up everybody. I like bomb at 50 yards. And like someone runs and catches it. And I'm like, what's up? What's up? And I always tell, thanks to you, Mr. On. That's the only reason why I'm so good at that. That the 3-year championship is because of you.
Well, listen, I appreciate it. I know I don't definitely deserve all the credit there. But what Mix is referring to has been talked about in multiple episodes of the podcast, actually. We've had former champions on. We've had people who've participated in it. And I remember thinking, because that was your sophomore year, right? And that was the year, that was right before you hit the big growth spurt, and your team, second period, won the championship that year. And I remember thinking, like, man, if Mix had played his junior or senior year, like 6'4", 6'5", now 6'6", I mean, I can't even imagine, right? So definitely your growth spurt has put you in a situation where, of course, your leaping ability as well, which you already had, but now that does nothing but help you. So yeah, ultimate, the skills will always be there. I'm glad that the love is there too. That's yep. wonderful. Yes. So that's a good thing. That's a good thing. But now when you see or you talk to athletes of the high school age, you know, whether it's at home, whether it's coming up to BYU, in your mind now, what's something you wish you knew or you think the most important thing for any athlete in high school, if they really think they're going to play in college, what's the main thing they have got to have right?
Don't do it because you think you have to do it. Do it because you love it. Like when it comes to the extra work, when it comes to all this, don't do it because you think like, oh, I will have to do this if I want to start. The reasoning shouldn't be that you have to. It should be because you love it. Like you're playing the sport because you love it. You're lifting these extra weights because you love doing it. You're doing the extra running because you love doing it. Just because it's for the sport, it's for something you love. And I feel like that's been taken away hearing from like the girls' gymnastics stories about like their crazy lifestyles. Like I'm in shock from what, like, damn, like it's crazy what those gymnastics girls go through. But it's just like hearing those stories and all the things that are pressured on them. I feel like as long as you follow, like when you find a sport you love and you follow your heart in that sport, man, it's sky's the limit. Like you just got to keep doing it because you love it. Like don't do it because, don't let anyone else ruin it for you. Play it for yourself. Do it because it's for you.
Well, listen, I am so happy that we're able to actually finally get this together and talk. And having seen highlights of you last year, I cannot wait to see what happens this year. But the time has come. I always let the guests know, is there a question that they want me to answer? Is there anything that you think of during the interview? Because I don't want anyone ever finishing an episode here and be like, oh, man, I wanted to ask him this. Right. So is there anything you have thought of? If not, it's okay. But I don't want you to be later saying that I didn't give you the opportunity.
I know. I can't ruin this opportunity. I need to dial it in. This is just out of pure curiosity. Who is the singular best athlete, like just general athlete, that you've seen come out of Northgate?
Let's define athlete, okay? Because are you saying the best athletic person I've seen in a PE class or who I feel like the best all-around athlete coming from the school? So what parameters do you want me to use? Do you want me to use it for athletics or athletics and PE as well? Because it might be a different answer that comes out of that, right?
I'll say strictly athletics. I just don't know if I don't know. I just out of pure curiosity, who's the, like, when it comes to sports, like Northgate sports, who's the one person that really likes?
Right. So that, okay. So that's a good time frame, right? Because this is my 20th year at the school. Okay. So I have been able to see some really, really good male and female athletes both.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of the most athletic person that I felt like coming out, because I've talked about on one other episode where someone asked me a question about PE, like who are the best all around PE athletes that I saw. And, you know, sometimes they are athletic people who play sports as well. Man, good question. See, the hard part is I always will think back to if I saw someone in class, right? And here's why. Let me talk you through this answer here.
Okay.
Because for you, I saw you your sophomore year, right? Like every day. So I saw you play all kinds of stuff in addition to your sport. And to me, that's what makes me feel like somebody is truly athletic, because you know there are some people who are really good at one sport.
Yeah.
But actually aren't really good at like anything else, you know, like even in physical education with where like they can't play ultimate, they can't play this, but oh, they can run really fast, which is great. That's fine. But that to me doesn't mean that you're an unbelievable athlete just because you can do one thing. So I'm always going to think more of a well-rounded type. And I'm trying to think, you know, I know the PE one I mentioned, and it's someone who was an athlete at Northgate, but he actually didn't play in college. And that was Richie Allen. And he graduated way before you, but he'll be happy to hear his name again. And I tell people this about him, is that he was the most gifted athlete that I've ever seen at the school, in that any sport we played, he would be in the top team or the top group within like 2 or 3 days.
Wow.
Any of the sports, right? So that was something that always makes a difference to me thinking about him, is that ability to just literally do every single sport well within a short time frame, whether it was paddle tennis, whether it was soccer, whatever it was, you know. Yeah. But thinking about this, the athletes coming out of Northgate, you know, there's been so many. Richie, some people will be mad that I say his name, but he's the one that always comes to mind just because literally he was gifted everything. But there's two parts to this story. The other thing is I always remember people who people wanted to play with. And that's not necessarily athletic ability, but that's how they treated people as well. Because there was one who you know who ended up playing your sport who was probably one of the best teammates and people that I've had the opportunity to be around. And that's Grant McCarger. Okay.
Yeah.
Right. Yep, so yep. He also was, of course, very talented at Ultimate Frisbee.
Yep.
But then got into playing volleyball. But as far as personality and in classes, that was someone everybody wanted to be on the team with him because he was going to treat everyone so nicely. And you were very similar too, but I only saw you as a sophomore, right? I didn't get to have you there as a junior and senior, whereas Grant, I had sophomore and senior year. So I got to see how he treated people, not just when he was 15, 16, but also when he was older as well, right? And so I brought his name up because I know you know him, right? So that was something. But that's the other part that comes into it, right? Because it's not just, are you great at sports? Are you great at different skills? But it's how do people feel when they play with you, right?
Yeah, that's
and
fair.
And how do people feel when they play against you? Because if everyone doesn't like the person and they think the person's a jerk, you know, like cocky, arrogant, not nice, well, that person can't be one of the highest rated people, right? Because they're someone people want to be around.
But I kind of to rebuke that, like, if we're talking about like the grace of all time, like Michael Jordan, he was that guy. Like nobody wanted to be around him, but he was still the best. That's what I'm saying.
You know, I can't say this. He wasn't a jerk. He was just driven, right? Like I wouldn't call him. When I think about people that have bad reputations, I don't think of him because I don't think he was a bad teammate.
Okay, that's fair. I see what you mean. Like genuinely a bad, like I got you. Right. I got you. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, because you can think back to high school and think about some people that were like not nice guys or not nice girls, right? And
Okay.
I have to see you in class, and I'd pretty much never like to see you outside of that, right?
Yeah.
So I don't know if that was a bad answer because I couldn't think of specific, but I'll tell you this. When I do my next episode where I'm answering questions, I'll write and think through it, and I'll mention that, hey, this is back to Mix's question, and I'll go through like my top three and stuff like that. So
deal.
Yeah. Is there anything else before we get your information so people can find you that you want to make sure we get out here today? You're welcome to tell people about BYU men's volleyball.
Yeah, download BYU TV on your iPad or your TV. If you have a smart TV or iPhone, watch the men's volleyball games. Support us. That'd be awesome. That's really it.
Now let's get your Instagram information because I like to obviously give that out so people can see you, follow you, see videos and things like that. What's your Instagram handle?
Mix.Romanus. That's it.
Very simple. Your first and last name. And his name is spelled M-I-K-S with a dot and then R-A-M-A-N-I-S. Right.
Yep.
Mix Romanus. And I also am always very proud. Well, of course, I'm proud of you, but I'm very proud when I'm able to say your name correctly because I remember asking you, actually, your sophomore year, you know, hey, what's the actual right way to pronounce your name? Because you have a name that people probably pronounce wrong 85, 90% of the time, your last name.
Yeah.
I'm sure your first name actually sometimes too, but your last name a lot of times, just the way it gets said. So it's Mix Romanus. And what is your number, Mix, on BYU men's volleyball?
23.
Was there a reason you got 23? I know we talked about Michael Jordan already, but was there, or it just got assigned to you? How did you end up with it?
It ended up being assigned to me. I wanted number 9, but one of my teammates took number 9. So I was like, okay, salty, just give me whatever then. I got 23. I'm like, oh, they think I'm the GOAT. So I was like, that's what I just told myself all the time. So right now I like the number 23. I'm going to be sticking with it for a while.
Okay, and we can find you playing outside this year, yes? That's the expectation?
Outside, correct.
Outside, Mix Romanus, number 23, BYU men's volleyball, sophomore, redshirt sophomore. So find him, and the season officially starts in?
January. January is when it officially starts.
So January of 2023, we are looking forward to it. And Mix, I want to thank you so much for being willing to come on here. Like I said already, proud of you. So happy that you're getting to it. Have a wonderful college experience, right? And it's not just the athletics, but being at BYU, like we talked about, and not being of the faith. So you're coming at it from a different perspective and getting to see all kinds of different things. So, and of course, the Latvian national team. I shouldn't forget that, but we will revisit that. And maybe someday, once you're about to finish your college career, we'll have you back on here to talk about how things have gone. But thank you so much for being a part of the podcast, and nothing but good luck and spikes, of course, in the future.
Thank you very much, Wazan. Really appreciate it, man.
And that is going to do it for today. Once again, a big thanks to Mix Romanus for joining us here on the podcast. As you just heard him talk about, the ways you can find him on Instagram is just pretty easy. It's his name, Mix, M-I-K-S dot Romanus, which is R-A-M-A-N-I-S. And then the BYU men's volleyball Instagram, which we mentioned a couple of times, is just BYU volleyball. Type that in there. Click the link on Instagram that I'm putting up. You can find about Mix's career, so many different interesting volleyball things. And the BYU men's volleyball page is also great to look at. But be sure to tell your friends, family members about specific episodes you like, because there might be something you listen to that you think, shoot, I think they would really like listening to this one. And any of the previous episodes, remember what we always like to say, you're not behind if you haven't listened to them. You're just not caught up. So if you want to get in touch with the podcast on email, it is themicison@gmail.com. That's the M-I-C is A-H-N at gmail.com. On Instagram, it's AniBPE. That's A-H-N-I-E-B-P-E. Once again, thanks so much for listening. Enjoy the BYU men's volleyball season here in 2023 as we come to it. And remember, we will see you later.